Hello, everyone. So this is my final episode of adult me talking to my child me about theology. It is okay for me as a child. And this is all off the top of my head. I just want to say that, by the way. I'm not reading it right. I just want to talk off the top of my head. Child me, it's okay that you did not fully understand how to be Christian in such a cruddy environment. The peacefulness and smoothness that you needed, it was all bumpy, rocky, falling flat on your face. And your grandma Clara, the only one to pick you up. Child me, it's okay that you never have a problem with women pastoring. In fact, women have ministered to your soul more than any other group of fully human beings throughout your life, in your life. In fact, child me, it's okay that the preaching of women has elevated your universal Christ consciousness and Christ-likeness more than any other group of fully human being preachers. Child me, do not feel bad that some of the pastors and preachers you met throughout your life have been LGBTQI+, and that you never have a problem with gender and sexual diversity within pastor and preaching. Child me, it is okay that whenever you saw In God We Trust on American currency, that you did not want In God We Trust to be on the American currency of non-theists, unbelievers, non-believers, that you only wanted In God We Trust to be an American currency that was for the believers, the theists, the pious. In other words, child me, it's okay that you said maybe they should talk to their fellow American citizens and go, okay, if you believe in God, we'll put In God We Trust on your money. And to the secular American citizens, if you don't believe in God, then we'll just not have anything on the money. Like, as a child, it was okay for me to be creative in how can we only send In God We Trust to the addresses of believers, and in terms of that American currency, and have American currency system where the people that are secular can get the same money, just don't put In God We Trust on the currency. So child me, it's okay that you were trying to think of a two-tiered healthy system where American currency of the religious kind go to the religious, and American currency system of the secular kind go to the secular persons. Child me, do not feel woeful nor inadequate about that at all. That does not make you a lousy Christian. That makes you an effective one. That makes you a substantive one. Effective child means, you know what that means, you're an advanced kid. And that means you know what a substantive means as well. You know, child means it's okay that when you are in church buildings, some of them, that you hated hearing about the pastoral approval and the congregational acceptance of the physical discipline of children. It is okay for you to be righteously indignant about the applauding and the shouting and the egging on and the quote-unquote old-school stories of having to lay hands on them kids, use inanimate objects on the children, even use items on the children of physical punishment. Child, me, it's okay that you hated all that, because none of that is sanctioned by Jesus anywhere in the scriptures. And anytime they want to bring out Proverbs, no. The rod was never used to harm anybody. The rod was always used to protect the sheep. You don't beat the sheep with the rod. You use the rod to make sure that the sheep is safe and secure. And I'm glad you understood that even back then, child me, because you were such an excellent researcher. Child me, it is okay that when you were in church, that you did not ever approve of people trying to coax you into being a family man. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and in Jeremiah chapter 16, you read about Paul in the New Testament, Jeremiah in the Old Testament, and you saw in those passages that make it clear that, according to the biblical canon, God does not want everyone to marry. God does not want everyone to have children. And you use those passages to slowly start being okay with the possibility of not being a family man. And you also use this passage to say, okay, if it's God's will for me to be a family man, it can't be because of religious pressure, societal pressure, family pressure, childhood trauma pressure, traumatizing my childhood pressure, sexual pressure, manic pressure. Even understood back then, none of these pressures are godly. They're all ungodly pressures to be a family man. And child me, it is okay that you hated being pressured to be a family man. You wanted that to be optional, not, well, we're going to treat you like you're in Russia or Hungary and you got these dictators saying, nope, you must be fruitful and multiply in the name of dictatorship. I mean, God in the book of Genesis, you did not want that. You didn't want to have to be like China and procreate because you're in a dictatorship. Not because God ordained that for me, for you. You didn't want to be like North Korea or some African countries or some Middle Eastern countries where if you don't get married, it's off with your head. Or if you don't procreate, you could be your corpse can be found lying in the middle of the street, and people walking by as if you weren't killed to begin with. You didn't want that. And then, child me, what I want to say to me is this. When you were inside of my adult self when I was in the Southern Baptist, predominantly white, GOP affiliated churches, what you also wanted was the ability to enjoy being a black boy in a black man's body. So, child me, what you witnessed was some white women telling you stories audibly, and you were hearing and listening, that many of them came from anti-racism families where it was all right to physically defend people of color when need be. Like, child, I know you remember hearing that when you were in college with me, where there were times within some church settings they were in where when there were racists in the pews, for example, who would just for no logical purpose, for no ration, for zero rational reason, they would just start muttering racial slurs against black people, against people of Hispanic descent, against people of Asian descent, against people who are of Middle Eastern descent, against anybody not white all over the world, and how these anti-racism white Christian families will rise up out of the pew and go to the pew where the racists were and just start demolishing them upside their heads with, and just battering them with fists and their feet and any inanimate object that was nearby them, and how in certain cases the pastor would just preach as if it wasn't happening, and the congregation were not fans of the racists. So the congregation was okay with what happened, and the racists were escorted out, and the pastor will resume the preaching if nothing happened, and the congregation would just be much more into the sermon in terms of sitting ovations and standing ovations of the pastor's preaching and of the anti-racist white Christian families who laid them hands on those of racial discrimination. And I remember your shock, your horror, your terror that you felt inside, a sense of rejuvenation and jubilant excitement, because wow, white people defending people like me. I love these kind of stories, but a part of you was so brokenhearted because you didn't like the whole idea of violence in God's house that is called the church. And then I remember your expression when these white Christian families who are anti-racist, they said to you, I would never tell a person of color to not say the N-word or any word that they use amongst themselves that have been historically been of racial slurs. They told you, child me, and adult me's body, that, oh, well, that's between them and God. God will convict them on that, hopefully, and they'll accept God's conviction of that. But in the meanwhile, I'll make sure us white folks, yes, child me, you did hear them say white folks. You really perked up and your eyes was out of your socket. It got that big. And I remember, child me, where you even... the anti-racist white people, Christians, even educating anybody willing to listen about the awfulness of racial slurs against people of color. And they even would educate anybody willing to listen about the awfulness of racial slurs that are typically applied to white people. And that these, the Christian white people were the main ones, oftentimes the only ones, making sure that nothing racist said nor done was lived out verbally and non-verbally, and that they were the type of Christian people that were not afraid to read you the riot act in terms of their hands and in terms of their lips if they would see verbal racism and nonverbal racism. That was the light bulb that popped over my head in terms of feeling jolly about these things, child me. Child me, it's okay that you never had a problem with occult practices because they always told you the truth about yourself, lovingly, soft-spokenly, and all the affirmations that you got from these occult practices, practitioners, you felt God's divine heavenly presence through them. Child me, it is okay that you started really understanding how so many people in church want pastoral permission to sin, because ultimately they want pastoral permission not to be Christian. And I understand that, child me, the church should never be a daycare center for adults. It should never be a grown-up's babysitting service. And that, child me, understand that I had to tell you this recently. More people in the church, and this is rough what I'm about to say, and I hate what I'm about to say, but being prophetic, at times you have to say what you hate saying, but it must be said for liberation of the body and of the inner life purposes. Most people in church or not Christians at all. Because if they were Christians, abuse survivors would have already had our full justice by now. We would have already had our full justice as people with disabilities by now. We would have had these justices a long time ago, full-fledged and full throttle. Self, as a child, me, more people in church are not kingdom disciples than the ones that are. And more people in church are of the flesh, of carnality, of society, than the ones who are of the spirit, of Christ, of the heart. And I hate saying these things, child me. I really do. But I know that to be the truth, because glitz and glamour is a higher priority than servanthood, servant leadership in the church world. Because if they reversed it and kept it the reverse the way Jesus purposely constructed it, then also black churches, white churches, those concepts wouldn't exist, because you would just call it church. A lot of times we flippantly say black church, white church, instead of thinking about the tragedy that those concepts actually exist, because none of those concepts were started by Jesus. The racism of races is why you have black churches, white churches, Asian churches, Hispanic churches, indigenous churches, the American churches, and so on and so forth. None of those concepts are endorsed in the Old Testament nor the New Testament. They were endorsed by slave breakers, Jim Crow and Jim Crow Esquire. So, child me, these are rough sayings of mine that I never like thinking such thoughts. But you don't say these things to pick on anybody in church. You say these things because you don't mind people being faith-based, just like you don't mind people being secular. You just want people to be true to what they say out of their mouths, be true to what they think out of their minds. You want people to be true to their proclamations, outwardly speaking. And child me, I understand how I never had it good as a Christian all these years. Child me, here's the truth. It is a struggle to understand that you've always been a person that had to be Christ-like more than most people your whole life. You were more Jesus-like than most Christian kids and Christian adults. You had to be more advanced in God than everybody else. When you came to Jesus, you came to Jesus in unfathomable anguish, unimaginable agony. And you never got a chance to have that la-la land that Christian kids get to have, because you never enjoyed la-la land because of that age that we know about that. I don't want to say it to you because I know it hurts your feelings. But yeah, child, me, I acknowledge, child me, that don't feel ashamed nor guilt-ridden about how religion has always been an immeasurable difficulty your whole life, and how it is very difficult, child me, to I think, child me, you're very much needed in houses of worship. Here's what I mean by that. There are churches that need your full humanity and the edgy brain that you have. They need your full honesty. There are mosques that need you for the same reasons. There are temples that need you for the same reasons. There are synagogues that need you for the same reasons. Those are temples that need you for the same reasons. Those are synagogues that need you for the same reasons. Those are tabernacles and monasteries and centers that need you for the same reasons. So, child me, I'm not saying that I'm forcing you to go to houses of worship every weekend. And child me, I'm not even saying that I'm forcing you to go to house of worship every week. What I'm saying, child me, is that sometimes being a prophetic person means you have to be willing to be prophetic everywhere. Yes, you are excellent at being prophetic in the secular world, and the secular world embraces you because of that. But child me, there are houses of worship that will embrace you because they need you to be prophetic to them. Because, child me, I understand that it can be frustrating being prophetic. Like, come on, y'all supposed to know this by now. Child me, I understand those feelings are valid. However, child me, there are some people in houses of worship that have the exact same thoughts as you do. They have the exact same struggles as you do. They have the exact same experiences with religion not being sugar and rainbows like you do. And they need you to help them start their healing process, because in a sense, their healing process is your healing process. Yes, child, I understand. We all have individual healing processes, but helping others to start their healing process helps you to continue to enjoy your own healing process, because you get to also enjoy the healing process of others. So, child me, there are some of the Antonios of the world are in churches. Some of the Antonios of the world are in mosques. Some of the Antonios of the world are in temples, and some of the Antonios of the world are in synagogues, and some of the Antonios of the world are in tabernacles. Some of the Antonios of the world are in centers, and some of the Antonios of the world are in monasteries. the antennas of the world and houses of worship, you're in high demand by them. Some of the antennas of the world within these houses of worship are women, are non-binary individuals, and are men, and are children. So you go because there is you and other people in those places. Only go when the prophetic wisdom in you says to go. You don't have to have a set time. Don't treat it like a routine. Just go when your heart says it's about that time for me to be about that life. But also, child me, the antennas of the world are also in secular institutions, secular events, secular environments. So, child me, there are antennas of the world that need you to be within non-believer, unbeliever institutions and non-believer, unbeliever scenery. Because some of the antennas of the world are secular people. Just like you mentioned self or earlier, child me, that some of the antennas of the world are faith-based. There is you, child me, and all kinds of people. There's the black me within the black community. There's a lot of black people who are the antennas of the world. There's a lot of white people who are the antennas of the world. There's a lot of Asian people who are the antennas of the world. There are a lot of indigenous people who are the antennas of the world. There's a lot of people of Hispanic descent who are the antennas of the world. People of each ethnicity, nationality, culture, tribe, race are the antennas of the world. So you will meet yourself in the form of countless people, countless times throughout your life. So go wherever the antennas are. Some antennas are tall, some are short, some are average height, some are hurtfully called midgets and dwarfs by our society. That is who you help heal, okay? Child me, there are dark skin, light skin, brown skin, albinos, people of all skin colors, all body shapes, all body types. They are the antennas of the world. Go administer to them your grateful gracefulness. The gratefulness of your gracefulness, your grateful graceful, administer to them. And I say, child me, understand this loud and clear. You and I give this silent pause to you, child, so you can process all of what I'm saying. Now I'm gonna continue. You, child, me have also understood that. And this is so important, child me, is that all kinds of people claim you as their own. Like, child me, remember this. When you were a child and throughout your whole life, atheists and agnostic Unitarian Universalists claim you as their own. Buddhist Unitarian Universalists claim you as their own. Christian Unitarian Universalists claim you as their own. Hindu Unitarian Universalists claim you as their own. Humanist Unitarian Universalists claim you as their own. Jewish Unitarian Universalists claim you as their own. Muslim Unitarian Universalists claim you as their own. Pagan Unitarian Universalists claim you as their own. They also, try me, the atheist and agnostic internals of the world see you as atheist and agnostic. That's a good thing. The Buddhist antonyms of the world see you as a Buddhist, and that's a good thing. The Christian antonyms of the world see you as Christian, and that's a good thing. The Hindu antonyms of the world see you as Hindu, and that's a good thing. The humanist antonyms of the world see you as a humanist, and that's a good thing. The Judaism practitioners, antonyms of the world, see you as a practitioner of Judaism and as Jewish, and that's a good thing. The Muslim antonyms of the world see you as Muslim, and that's a good thing. The pagans of this, the pagan antonyms of the world see you as pagan, and that's a good thing. So child me. So the antonyms of the world, when it comes to each and every view on religion, see you as coming from this, being cut from the same cloth as them, and that's a good thing.